ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Okay, so we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 7, text number 16. Chaturvidha bhajante mam
Chaturvidha bhajante mam
Jana sukritino Arjuna
Jana sukritino Arjuna
Arto jignasur artarti
Arto jignasur artarti
Jnani cha bharatarsabha
Jnani cha bharatarsabha
Chaturvidha bhajante mam
Chaturvidha bhajante mam
Jana sukritino Arjuna
Jana sukritino Arjuna
Arto jignasur artarti
Arto jignasur artarti
Jnani cha bharatarsabha
Jnani cha bharatarsabha
Chaturvidha bhajante mam
Chaturvidha bhajante mam
Jnana sukritino Arjuna
Jnana sukritino Arjuna
Arto jignasur artarti
Arto jignasur artarti
Jnani cha bharatarsabha
Jnani cha bharatarsabha
Chaturvidha
Chaturvidha
Four kinds of Bhajante,
Bhajante,
render services,
render services.
Mam,
Mam,
unto me,
unto me.
Jana,
Jana,
persons,
persons.
Sukritina,
Sukritina,
those who are pious,
those who are pious.
Arjuna,
Arjuna,
O Arjuna,
O Arjuna.
Artha,
Artha,
distress,
distress.
Jignasu,
Jignasu,
the inquisitive,
the inquisitive.
Arta arti,
Arta arti,
one who desires material gain,
one who desires material gain.
Jani,
Jani,
one who knows things as they are,
one who knows things as they are.
Cha,
Cha,
also,
also.
Bharata Rishabha,
Bharata Rishabha.
O great one amongst the descendants of Bharat.
O great one among the descendants of Bharat.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. O best among the Bharats, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me, the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Unlike the miscreants, these are adherents of the regulative principles of the scriptures, and they are called Sukritina, or those who obey the rules and regulations of scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. Out of these, there are four classes of men. Those who are sometimes distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are sometimes inquisitive, and those who are sometimes searching after knowledge of the Absolute Truth. These persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu defines pure devotion thus: Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukuyena krishnano shilanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. Those who are always busy with fruitive activities come to the Lord in material distress and at that time associate with pure devotees and become, in their distress, devotees of the Lord. Those who are simply frustrated also come sometimes to associate with the pure devotees and become inquisitive to know about God. Similarly, when the dry philosophers are frustrated in every field of activity, they sometimes want to learn of God, and they come to the Supreme Lord to render devotional service and thus transcend knowledge of the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma and come to the personal conception of Godhead by the grace of the Supreme Lord or His pure devotee. On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires, and when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service to the Lord are tainted with fruitive activities, the search for mundane knowledge, etc. So one has to transcend all this before one can come to the stage of pure devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurunmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantekam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishaka Nitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Goro Tivishe Namaha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupataravyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare So we are reading from the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna is describing knowledge of the Absolute. At the end of the 6th chapter, Lord Krishna had explained the topmost of all yoga is Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenantaratmanam shradavam bhajate yomam same yutatamumata. Of all yogis, the one who is absorbed in transcendental loving service to me is considered to be the best of all yogis. Yogi Uttama, the topmost yogi. He is complete faith in the Lord and he's serving the Lord also. He's doing his seva. So Krishna said he's always thinking of the Lord. He's absorbed in thinking of the Lord with transcendental love. So, in this, after explaining that, now in the 7th chapter, Lord Krishna has to describe how to think of Him. Because if we're going to think of Krishna, we have to know something about Him. We have to have a lot of information to fill our mind with Him. We know Krishna, He has a peacock feather, and He has some gopis, He plays a flute. You know, we know a little bit, but we have to know a lot more. To absorb our mind, we have to fill the mind. Our mind has to become so attracted with the thought of Krishna. So, in order to become absorbed in Krishna, we have to know a lot about Him. So, therefore, Krishna Himself is explaining this knowledge in this 7th chapter. In fact, He began this 7th chapter by saying, "Maya sapta mana partha yogam yanjam madashrayam." Asamshayam samagramam yatajas nati tatshrinu. Now hear, O Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So, this is why Krishna is explaining all of this knowledge in this section of the Bhagavad Gita. He wants us to know about Him and to think of Him without any doubts about the benefit and how fortunate we are to be able to think of Him. So Krishna is describing in relation to His devotees, He's described that certain kinds of people never surrender to Him. He described in the previous verse to the one we read that there are people namam duskriti no mudha prapajante naradama maya aparita jnanam asuram bhavamashrita. Four kinds of people, they never surrender to me. Duskritina, they're described as duskritina. They're not pious people because they won't surrender to Krishna. So their life cannot be auspicious. They're described Narada, Maya Parita, Namam Duskritino, Mudha. Mudha. Mudha means donkey like the donkeys. Why? The donkey will carry a big load on his back all day. Why? To get some grass. All around grass is growing, but the donkey thinks, I have to carry these rocks, I have to carry this sand. If I don't carry my grass, the rock, I won't get my grass tonight. So the donkey is working hard, carrying the load to get his grass. But grass is there. If the donkey wanted, he could get the grass. In the same way, material life, you know, we work very hard to get our grass. Yeah. Well, of course, we eat different from grass, but you know, to get our roti, you know, if we get grass, we will not be very happy, right? You know, sometimes you can eat some grass, some weeds, you know, some people, the rishis in the forest, they may eat grass, you know, but generally, we know we want something more than just grass. So, we have to eat and we have to work to get the food. We think, if I don't work, won't get food. Remember, I was telling somebody, come to the temple, come and eat prasad. Oh no, I have no time, I have to work. I have no time. Why are you working? I have to eat. No, I'm telling you, come to the temple, I have prasadam there, you can eat at the temple. No, no, I have to work. Like this. This is a mudha, donkey philosophy. Working to enjoy. The donkey wants to enjoy, but when he tries to enjoy, the other donkey will kick him in the face. You know? The donkey thinks his singing is very nice, his croaking, or, you know, the donkey sounds not very pleasant, but the donkey is thinking his braying is very pleasant, very nice. And people are throwing things at him. Shut up, stupid beast, you know. But the donkey is saying, well, singing so nice, why are you complaining? This is mudha, donkey life. So these people, they won't surrender to Krishna. Then Naradama, the lowest of man, he has the chance for something better. He has knowledge, he's born in a good family, has a good upbringing, but he won't take advantage. No, you know, no, it's okay, I'm not interested. No. Oh, my mother, my father, they were very religious. They fools, old fools, you know. They wasted all their time. They never had any money. I'm going to work. I'm going to make money. I'll do better than my mother and father. They wasted their life going to temple all day and praying. They never got anything. He doesn't see that mother and father got liberated. Went back to Godhead. The son goes to hell, because he doesn't have any faith. So it's Naradama. Yeah. We find this Kali Yuga, very common people. Naradama is like Jaghai Madhai. They were delivered. Here's our Jaghai and Madhai, you see. They were also Brahmanas, born in the Brahmana family, but became very degraded. You can see they had the liquor pot, they were drunk. Lord Nityananda had to go and preach to him. He was trying to deliver them, asking them to chant Hare Krishna. And they struck him. They hit him with the wine pot. Lord Chaitanya came. Lord Chaitanya was going to kill them with his Sudarshan Chakra. Lord Nityananda begged Lord Chaitanya, spare them. In this age, you have to be merciful. In other ages, Paritranaya Sadunam Vinas Chaya Chaduskritam. Krishna would kill the demons. But in the Kali Yuga, there's so many demons. If you would kill all the demons, there'd be nobody. What would be finished, eh? We're all demons. Ah, this Kali Yuga, we're all fallen souls. We're all caught up in the net of Maya. So in this age, the Lord is merciful. And he delivers the Naradamas, made them into devotees. But still there's a lot of Naradamas not delivered. Many, many fallen souls. So Mudha Naradama, Maya Parita Jnana, people whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. They think they can understand the scriptures by their own intelligence. They will take some meaning, twist some meaning out from their scriptures, from the scripture, without following any bona fide acharyas. And they will proclaim themselves as being an incarnation of God. And sometimes they will even reject bona fide scriptures and try to write their own new scripture. They'll say, oh, Bhagavad Gita, this is old, 5,000 years old, we need a new scripture, I'll write something better. Krishna will tell me from the heart, they'll say. Krishna speaks. Krishna doesn't speak to just any common man. No, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he chooses his devote, who he will inspire with transcendental knowledge. Not just any ordinary person. Not just any man in the street. Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvatma yoga maya samavrita mudayam nabijanati lokamama chamavyayam. Again, Mudha is there. I am never manifest to these foolish and unintelligent people. For them, I am covered by my eternal creative potency. And then, the foolish mock at me descending amongst them like an ordinary person. They're thinking Krishna is just some ordinary person. They do not understand the transcendental nature of the Lord. So these people never understand the truth. The knowledge is stolen by illusion. Maya aparita jnana. Then asuram bhavam ashrita. There's also the atheists, the Gnostics, who have no belief in any God. They say there's no God or God's dead. How could God live so long? This world's been created so long. He'd be very old by now. Nobody lives that long. He must be dead. They don't understand the transcendental nature of the body of the Lord. They cannot understand something beyond their intelligence. So these are the asuras. These people, they never surrender to Krishna. So Krishna has described these four classes of people who don't come to him. But now he describes also four people who do come to him. They come to him. They're not yet pure devotees. They're not perfect. But they're pious people. Chaturvida bhajantimam jnana sukritino arjuna. They have some sukriti. They've done some piety. That piety has brought them to the path of devotion. Not by chance. There has to be some qualification to come to devotion. That qualification is that sukriti. What is that sukriti? That is by chance they did some service somewhere along the line. They did something to please a devotee. Somehow they got the blessings of the Lord. An example is there. Narada Muni tells Vyasadeva about his previous life. Narada Muni explains in his previous life he was born in the womb of a Sudra lady. His mother was some ordinary woman running some little traveler's home. And some sadhus came to stay in her house. When they were staying there in her house, she asked her son to serve them, to bring them their food, and to take care of whatever they wanted, maybe wash their clothes, they need whatever they needed, go and do it for them, bring them water, like this. So these sadhus were staying there in their home, and this Narada Muni, in his previous life, he was just a young boy, he was serving them. So sometimes they would leave some food on their plate and he would ask them, please, will it be all right if I can take the remnants of your food? And they said, yes, all right, you can take. So with their permission, he took the remnants of their food. And just by doing the seva for these great devotees, these great monks, these sadhus, and by accepting the remnants of their food, He became so elevated that in his next life he became the son of Brahma and he became Narada Muni, the authority on the path of devotional service, one of the 12 Mahajanas. one of the 12 authorities in the line of devotion. So this is the power, serving the devotees, association with the sadhus, mahat sevam dwaramahurva muktes. By serving the mahats, it opens the doors to liberation. But the converse is also true. Tamodwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. That when we serve the senses and the objects of the senses, try to satisfy the demands of our mind in mundane ways, then it opens the path to hell. Tamodwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. We fall into darkness, into the mode of ignorance. So, we're hearing tonight about four people, four different categories of people who have come to Krishna consciousness. They've come to the path of devotion. They're not pure devotees. They still have some material desire. But they've come. So they're all pious people. They're all good people. Whatever reason they've come for, they're good people. And they're described. First of all, arta, distress. There's a lot of distressed people all over the world. In Hong Kong, there's a lot of distressed people. Maybe somebody's football team loses. Oh, my team lost today. Oh, my cricket team lost. Oh, we lost the World Cup. How will I live? Or the stock market crashes. Oh, I've lost all. People are in distress. Or there's a quarrel at home. Again, distress. You lose your job. You have a fight with a boss. So many reasons we can be in distress. So, sometimes people in distress, what do? Most people in distress, they go to the bar, get drunk. Oh, let me forget about it, go and drink. Yeah. And what's the result? More distress. Become more miserable. You don't solve any problem, you just become more miserable. Other people, they try to, make some other attempt to solve their problem. But a fortunate person, in distress, they'll come to God, think of God. They say, Duk kasoni suk kara. Duk kasoni. When I'm happy, I'll think of my money. And when I'm in distress, I'll think of God. Dukkaram sukkasoni, right? Should be soon. Like that. Yeah. The general mood is there. In distress, we come to God. When we're happy, we're counting the money. Oh, I'm rich. I'm happy. I don't need God today. Anyway, different moods are there. Distress can be a blessing. It can bring people closer to God. There are some benefits from it. We should see everything as the grace of God. And the difficulties which come upon us are also for our benefit, for our purification. So, one class of people, they come in distress. Just like the example, Gajendra. You all know the story, who is Gajendra? Gajendra Moksh. The elephant. He's fighting with this crocodile, and he's in this lake, and the Gajendra's got all his female wives with him, all the big lady elephants are there, and all the baby elephants, and they're all waiting for their daddy, this big elephant, Gajendra, the king of the elephants, and he's fighting with the crocodile, and they're fighting in the water, and Gajendra's getting weaker and weaker. Nobody can help him. So many family are there, they can't help you. Sometimes it's like that, you're in trouble and they can't do anything. You're like, help me, but nobody can do anything. Gajendra his leg was caught in the jaws of the crocodile. And that crocodile was fighting, he wanted to get Gajendra. And they were in the water, the home of the crocodile. The elephant's not at home in the water. He likes the water, he was enjoying the water, but it's not his home. And as the fight went on, Gajendra got weaker and weaker. And the crocodile feels senses victory. I'm going to win. I'm going to get him. I'm going to have a big meal tonight. But then Gajendra, he had some memory from previous life. That in the past life, Gajendra was a great king. And he'd been cursed to become this elephant. And he somehow, he remembered a mantra, a prayer which he used to offer in his previous life. And he recited that prayer, and in this way he worshipped the Lord. And because he was reciting this prayer to the Lord came, the Lord appeared, Lord Vishnu came on the back of Garuda and slew that crocodile and freed Gajendra. So Gajendra was liberated. In his distress, he remembered the Lord. We should all have a prayer to offer to the Lord in distress, right? When we're in distress. What do you chant?
Just simple Hare Krishna.
You chant Hare Krishna? Oh, okay. Some people will worship Lord Nrisimhadeva. Lord Nrisimhadeva is very powerful, gives protection to his devotees, can destroy obstacles in the path of bhakti. You can also, of course, Krishna can also protect his devotees. Draupadi just called Krishna and she was saved from the wrath of Durvasa, you know. So Krishna says, Kunti apriti janihi nami bhakta pranashati. He protects his devotees. So we can depend on Krishna. So distress is there, can bring us to devotion. Arto jignasu, in search of knowledge. Some people come, they want knowledge. They want to hear about Krishna, who is Krishna, what is the meaning of this Bhagavad Gita. They want to know all about it. They're interested to understand. Some people, they've heard about the Brahman and Paramatma. They want to know, what is the absolute truth? You know, they're searching, they're trying to understand, who is God? Which is the highest truth? There's so many different gods, which one is supreme? Many people in search of knowledge. So these people also can become Krishna conscious. Just like the four Kumars, Chatur Kumar, they were the sons of Brahma. Born from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, at the beginning of the creation, he wanted to populate the universe. So he gave birth to four Kumaras and asked them, help me to fill up the universe, populate the universe. But the Kumar said, no, we don't want to do this. We want to just work for enlightenment. We're going to stay young. We're not going to grow old. Right, young ladies? We have nice young ladies here. You're not going to grow old. You look very nice like this. We love you very much like this. Please don't grow old. You know? It's very, you know, so the four Kumaras, the sons of Brahma, they stayed young. They didn't grow old. Because, you know, they didn't want to get all the problems which come with the, you know, with householder life. So the Lord Brahma was upset. He wasn't happy about it, but they had that desire. They wanted to go in search of knowledge, and that led them to Vaikuntha. They went into Vaikuntha, and, you know. But of course, when they went into Vaikuntha, Jai and Vijay were saying, no, you're a young boy, you can't come in here, you're too young. You have to come back when you're grown up. And they got a problem at Vaikuntha. And that brought problems for Jai and Vijay. Anyway, for Kumaras, they have this mood. They want knowledge. Some people come to take up the path of devotion in search of knowledge. It's a desire. They want knowledge. It's not pure devotion, but it's good. It's pious. They've come to Krishna. You could go so many other places to get knowledge. You know, and there's a lot of other libraries. There's so many books in the library, and they have nothing to do with God. They're not about Krishna. You know, so many other kinds of philosophies, speculations, and they have knowledge. But it's material, mundane, it's not spiritual. But pious people, they will come and they want to know about the path of devotion and how to understand God. And then another class of people, artharthi, in search of wealth. They have some material desire, need some money. Got a problem here, need money, family to feed, I've no money in my pocket, how to live, how to pay the bills. Like this, some people may come pray to God, they come with some wealth. They've come to God, is that wrong? They've come to ask God help? No, it's good. Other people may go to, they may go to the Communist Party and ask the Communist Party, you know, help me. Somebody else, you know, they go to the, you know, find some other find a loan shark or something, you know, take money from him. But pious people, they come to God. Artharthi, material desires. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj had a material desire. He was a young child and he was the son of a great king, Maharaj Uttanapad. So he wanted, one day his father was there in the palace and Dhruva wanted to get on the lap of his father. His father was sitting there on his throne and Dhruva tried to come up and climb on the father's lap. But the stepmother was there. The stepmother said, "Hey, you are not born from my womb. You cannot sit there." Stepmother was the younger wife. She was more favorite of the king. So Dhruva was upset. The stepmother had told him like this, "You can't sit on your father's lap." He got very upset because he's Kshatriya. So Rajas is there. And you know, he was told, "Can't do this." He went back to see his mother's crying. "I can't get to sit on my father's lap. What is this?" His mother said, "What can I do? I'm not the favorite wife. She's the favorite wife." So Dhruva Maharaj said, "Well, what to do? How am I going to get revenge? I want to have a kingdom better than my father. I should have more power than my father even. Who can help me do this?" So the mother says, "Well, sometimes when people want something, they'll find God." So he said, "Okay, where's God? Where do I find them?" So the mother said, "Well, many sages, they go to the forest and they find them." So Dhruva Maharaj said, "All right, I'm going." He went off into the forest. He's only a young boy, young child. And this is Satya Yuga, a lot of wild animals, a lot of jungle, you know, and very dangerous, no big cities. So he went off into the forest, and he was going in the forest. Wild animals were coming, and he would, big lion would come and roar in the face, and he would look in the lion, in the face of the lion, and say, "Are you God?" Like that. He was so fearless. No fear. He's Kshatriya. Yeah. So then Narada Muni came and said, "You're only a young boy. You should go back. Come back when you're grown up. Then I'll help you find God." He said, "No, not going back. Are you going to help me or not?" So then Narada Muni gave him mantra and then told him what to do. "You go to the bank of this place, this holy river, holy kund there, you stay there and you do some austerity there and chant this mantra." He chanted this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You know, he wanted something. He wanted to get this kingdom. He had material desire. But he came to God. So this was good, you know, this was a blessing for him. But although he came just wanting to get this kingdom, it ultimately he got purified. He got the kingdom and he got purified, became a great devotee. Then the fourth class of person, the inquisitive person. Somebody who is, he wants to know, he has questions, he's trying to understand. So like that, you know, people are, you know, they're all, you get people, they're coming, they ask questions, you know, they want to understand. So some people come here, they also, you know, they want to know, who is this deity, what God do you got in this temple, who is he, what did he do? Like, they have many questions, what books do you read, what's it all about? The inquisitive person can also come to God. So from these four, which one is the best? Have a guess. Which one is the best? Four kinds of people.
Searching for the absolute truth.
The one in search of knowledge. is the best, yes. Because if a person is in distress and he comes to Krishna, so after some time the distress is gone, and after the distress goes, then it goes away again. Okay, I can go now. Yeah, we had one time, I was in another place, not here in Hong Kong, but another place. We met this young man. Oh, he said, my girlfriend threw me out. We had a fight. She doesn't want me anymore. I've nowhere to go. I'm in distress. What will I do? So he said, oh, you look, come with us. You can come. You can stay with us. Stay in the ashram. You can be a devotee. So he'd come and stay, chant Hare Krishna for some time. Then a few days, he said, okay, I think I'll go now. Thanks very much. You know, he got over the distress. Another time, you know, you get somebody... So people with distress, you know, they may come for some time, but if they don't get knowledge, if they don't come to that position of having knowledge, then they won't stay in Krishna consciousness. Somebody is curious, has a lot of questions, you know, like every week coming and so many questions every week, and then you don't see them anymore. Hey, what happened? Hey, I didn't see you anymore. Why are you not coming for the program? Oh, I have no more questions. You answered all my questions. What? I answered all your questions. You should be convinced now. No, that's okay. I have no more questions. So, but if they get real, if they actually get the knowledge, if they really appreciate, if they realize, understand this knowledge, then they will never give up. They will never go away. But if they're just curious, then okay, they're not curious. And then somebody has material desire, they want something, and then they get it, then they go. Just like sometimes, you know, you meet the young man, oh, he's no job, okay, I want to be a devotee. I'll be a devotee, I'll serve Krishna, okay, you can come be a devotee, you know, we train them up how to be a devotee, chant Hare Krishna, and go out and distribute books and like this. So then they go out, they distribute books, and when they're distributing books, they meet some man, he said, hey, you want a job? I'm looking for a salesman. You're a good salesman. Why don't you work for me? Huh? Sometimes this happens, you know, our devotees were selling books in the airports in America, and you meet these businessmen, and they say, hey, you know, why don't you come and work for me? I'm looking for a good salesman, somebody who's a hard worker. You know, come and work for me. I'll give you a job. And then, oh, really? Oh, okay. And then they're not devotee anymore. Eh? Where did he go, you know? I found a job. Or even sometimes here in the temple, you know, somebody comes and they say, you know, I need somebody for my office. You want a job? Come and work in my office. And they say, well, I won't be a devotee. Okay, I'm just going to work there. I get paid for it, you know. I don't get paid for being here. Just give me, you know, some prasadam to eat. Let me go and take a job. So like that, you know, if they don't have knowledge, but if one gets this knowledge about how to serve Krishna, then they can never leave Krishna. They can never go away from Krishna. So Krishna says, the one who is most dear to him is that one who has knowledge, cultivated this little understanding about Krishna. They can never give up this path of devotional service. So this is so important to cultivate this, to hear, just by hearing about Krishna. When we hear regularly, cultivate this little bit of knowledge every day, every week, you come, you hear, and chant, and you're getting a little more, and it's all building up. It's all there within us. And that will make the difference to us at the end of life. It can take us back to Godhead, back to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premananda.